The epistle for the fourth Sunday of Lent is taken from Galatians chapter 4. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory. For these are the two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai, engendering unto bondage, which is Agar, for Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which has affinity to that Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the spirit, so also it is now. But what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, by the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 6. At that time, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus therefore went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pass, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus therefore had lifted up his eyes, and seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down, in like manner also the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up therefore and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is of a truth the prophet that is to come into the world. Jesus, therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. Please be seated. Now sin no more. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So on this last Sunday before Passiontide, as I mentioned to you, by next Saturday, we will have covered the statues, the images that we have in the church, as a means to focus on our Lord's passion and his death. But yet in this last Sunday before Passiontide, the church becomes a herald of joy amongst the penance and the fasting that we are trying to accomplish during this time period. We've spoken before of how the joy and the sorrow are so closely united. This fact of the golden rose. The golden rose being blessed and showing to us joy will always have sometimes sorrow with it, and vice versa. But also I had mentioned to you last Sunday of how good it is for our soul to focus sometimes on maybe one thing in order to try to root out the faults, the weaknesses that we have, the inclinations towards sin, and how this time period of Lent lends itself to that. And the encouragement to try to maybe at times to read the masses if you're not able to attend all the different masses that are proper to this time period of Lent. Because it helps to give us the mindset of what the church is showing to us during this time period of helping us to see and to understand. So yesterday, obviously, because of the weather, a lot weren't able to attend the Mass. But we saw in yesterday's Mass two examples of judging. We have the example of Susanna in the epistle, and then the gospel, the woman taken in adultery. Our Lord has been very clear about judging others. Do not judge that you may not be judged yourself. And so that reminder to us, and we have the famous kind of parable that he gives, the story that he gives. It's very easy for us a lot of times to see the speck in someone else's eye. And yet, we don't consider the beam that is in our own eye. It's very easy for us to spot that in others. And so yes, there is this common tendency. One, to favor ourselves. Condemn others a lot of times. Condemning others usually for the same things that we ourselves commit. I remember them telling us that in the seminary, our first year, when we were being formed in the life of spirituality. They said a lot of times you can see the faults in others very clearly because it is the same faults that you commit. And that's how we can see them so very clearly, because we're used to experiencing that. And so there was a warning that was given, obviously, as we were being formed in the spiritual life. So as I say, in yesterday's Mass, it gives us these two different time periods, times when someone was being judged. Obviously, we have with the case of Susanna, one who did not want to sin at all. And that was something that she realized, she did not want to sin before the eyes of God. So she refused, realizing of what will happen. But you can see how strong she was in trying to be pleasing to God and did not care what the opinion of man was. And so here you have an innocent soul who is condemned and then even brought before a judge. And because the elders, the ones who should be respected because of their position, but because they lied, the people believed them. And so for Susanna, because she tried to live a pleasing life, she beseeched Almighty God. She beseeched God to intercede for her, reminding him of the fact of that she did live a good life, that she was trying to be pleasing to him, and therefore that she was going to be judged. And so it is interesting to see how she goes through and that they do, they condemn her. But then Almighty God calls upon and raises up Daniel. At this time, he is just a boy. Daniel will turn into a prophet, prophesying about future events, events of our Lord. And so Daniel raises up to intercede for her, to even ask them the question of why are you condemning someone who is innocent? And here you have this young boy that for them, they had already condemned her because they believed the elders. But the elders were blinded by their passions, and so therefore they lied and caused her that they were going to have her condemned. But yet Daniel proved that they lied by asking him about which tree things took place and to prove that they were lying about that. And so here we have a soul that is condemned or is judged falsely when they are truly innocent and to the point that they were going to be condemned and put to death. But yet God raises up Daniel to save her. But it showed how at times we can be falsely accused, falsely judged. But again, that reminder to us to be careful of judging the actions of others, or in this case, someone who didn't even act, and yet being judged by that. But it's interesting to see how Holy Mother of the Church, in that Mass, puts the Gospel account also in the same Mass. Here you have the woman that is taken in sin, one who does sin. And so therefore, again, the scribes and the Pharisees, these elders that should be respected, they come to our Lord trying to trap him and saying, well, the Mosaic law says this. If someone is taken in this sin, this is what will happen. Trying to trap our Lord. So it's interesting to see how the spiritual authors, how they take when our Lord is drawing in the sand. Obviously, there's no account exactly of what our Lord was doing. Certainly, our Lord wasn't just playing in the sand. And so many of the spiritual authors were saying that at that point, he was basically writing the sins of these scribes and these Pharisees, of knowing of what he will present to them next. And so as he is doing that, as he is writing that, he says to them, it's like, fine, she is to be stoned, that is the Mosaic law. And so the first one without sin, you can cast the stone. So he who is without sin, you may cast the first stone. And so that is said that the ones, the eldest ones of them, they left first, realizing their own sins, realizing their place, and so therefore they didn't have that opportunity. And so they had to leave. They left again, and our Lord shows the fact of judging others. Granted, she had fallen into sin, but it also proves in the mercy of Almighty God. The mercy that God has for all of our souls, even when we sin. And that is why the encouragement, especially when I was mentioning last Sunday about preparing your soul well for a good confession in the time period of Lent, of taking advantage of this opportunity that we had, especially last Sunday, Father Brandler, the last two Sundays, Father Brandler hearing confessions during Mass, of having that opportunity to take care of our soul and taking advantage of the mercy of Almighty God. And so that is, I would say, one of the lessons that is given to us from this Mass, the mercy that God has for us, one, especially when we are trying to be pleasing to Him. Even if we're judged by others, it doesn't matter. Even if we're condemned by others, it doesn't matter. Because our judge is Almighty God. That is all that matters. Are we pleasing to God before His eyes? The world can condemn us. The world can judge us. Parishioners can judge us. Parishioners can condemn us. It doesn't matter. Because ultimately we are judged by Almighty God. And that is where we have to be careful of the peer pressure, of fitting in. I think especially that is the danger for our children. As they grow older, as they go out in the world somewhat, yes, there is that pull of the world to make them be a part of it. And that is where we have to have that, we have to have, in a sense, the condemnation of how the modern world lives. Because otherwise, yes, we would just go the way of the world. And so the lessons, yes, very easy to us, the mercy of Almighty God that He has for us. When we sin, God is willing to forgive us if we are sorry. If we recognize that. And so that is where then you have the second case of the woman in the gospel. She did sin. And when our Lord, when He had mentioned to the Pharisees and the scribes, it's like, he who is without sin cast the first stone. They all ended up leaving. So basically then at that point, our Lord asked her, is there anyone to condemn you? And she said, no. And here you see the example of the mercy of God. And He says, neither will I. Sin no more. So the lesson is learned for her. The lesson is learned for her to understand then she would go to sin no more. Because again, the spiritual authors say that this case is Mary Magdalene, St. Mary Magdalene. And that was the grace that was given to her soul. The grace that she received and the grace that she accepted. And I think that's the most important point of it. God offers us graces. This time period is full of graces for us, and especially the great feast of Easter, the greatest feast of the liturgical year, will have many graces for our souls. But the difference is so many people don't accept the graces. Because just as these two elders, in the case of Susanna, were blinded, We're blinded by our passions. We're blinded by other things to where we don't accept the graces of Almighty God, the grace of conversion, the graces that are given to our soul in order to advance in the spiritual life. And you see how with this woman, after our Lord said, now go, sin no more, she accepted that. She accepted the grace that was given to her to sin no more. And then to have a life of penance, a life of making up for the sins that she had committed. So as I say, you see with the two completely different cases, one who was innocent, one who was guilty. End result, in a way, both are forgiven. Obviously, one did not commit anything to be forgiven of, but at least her condemnation was wiped away. But the end result is, yes, these two souls would go on to continue to be pleasing to God. Obviously, the woman taken in sin, she would later on obviously change. But the accepting of God's grace. But then also the lesson to us of learning. Be careful of how we judge. Granted, sometimes we have to make a decision on something, but we have to be careful of condemning. Or then completely just rash judging when we have no basis for something. I mean, granted, in the case of Susanna, the people believed the elders because of their position. But they abused their position. And so these are the things that we have to contemplate and to think about in this time period of Lent, as I say, to root out how easy it is for any of us to pass judgments on others. And how wrong that is. God is judge, not us. We don't have a place to judge. Yes, we have to take care of our soul, but we have to be careful of falsely condemning others, the danger that brings to our soul. And so therefore it gives us something to think about. It gives us something to consider and to think for our own soul. As I say, how easy it is for any of us to fall into that habit. I mean, even just on the level, when I was a subordinate to other priests prior, how easy it is to say, oh, I wouldn't do this, or I would do it this way, or I would do that. So then you're put in the position, it's kind of like, can I go back to where I was? Because then all of a sudden you see and you feel the responsibility that you're burdened with. But how easy it is just to say, oh, I wouldn't do that, or I would do it this way, or if I was running things. How easy it is for any of us to say that. I mean, I know in my own case. Then you go back to those superiors, and it's like, I am so sorry. Because now you realize the weight of what you're carrying. And that's why it's funny when people want to become a prior or different things. It's like, you can have it. You can have mine. Because of that. It is a lot of weight. It is a lot of responsibility. So it's very easy for anyone to cast judgment. I'm not just saying this for my case. Sometimes faults and weaknesses are evident. But that is a thing that you have to be careful. Especially with those in authority, those that have that responsibility. It's very easy for us to judge because we're not in that same boat. It's very easy for us because they are raised because of their position. They're raised higher. In a large sense, they raised higher to be brought down by the people. That we have to be careful of. If anything, the benefit of the doubt should be given. And pray. Pray for our superiors. That's why I say, for the conclave coming up, pray for the cardinals. Pray that they work with the graces of Almighty God. God is in control of everything, so we know that. And in some ways, sometimes, just as maybe with some of the leaders of countries or different things, the people get what they deserve. So that is all the more so uniting your prayers and your sacrifices to the conclave that starts on Tuesday. We can try to affect it. But in some ways also, we have to look at it in terms of, look at the world today. And as I say, if anything, the world itself should be condemned. And for us that follow the world and the tendencies of the world and that and thinking that we're still living a Catholic life, maybe it'll only come out at the time period of our judgment. Hopefully we receive the graces beforehand to understand that and to change. Because our Lord had said, the prince of this world is already judged. So if we want to follow the world, well, then we're following the prince of the world. And the prince of this world is judged to be condemned to hell. Because we know the prince of this world is Satan. So sobering thoughts sometimes to think about, yes. But just as with Susanna, she never lost her trust in God. She beseeched God during the trial when it looked like she was going to be condemned. It's kind of like, I've lived this life pleasing to you. Will I not have a chance to be shown innocent? And Daniel spoke up, this boy spoke up to help her. So God is always there for us. And then sometimes we have to beseech God. We have to cry out to God, help us. How often do we do that? How often do we ask for those graces for the church, for us, for our families? How often do we do that? And if that was the practice that we had every day, asking for God's help, things could be different. But a lot of times, human nature is human nature. Things are going poorly, then we ask. But we should always be beseeching Almighty God to help us, to be there for us, to gain and to win the graces that he has and that are necessary for our soul to get to heaven. Because again, when it all comes down to it, God will look at us and see, how did we live our life? You know, obviously the souls that are entrusted to you too, you will be judged for. And so therefore, it will come down to what did we do with the graces that God offered to us? It might be very easy for us on Judgment Day to start passing the blame on everybody else around us and different things of that nature, but ultimately it will come down to your soul. Your soul and the graces that God offered to you. And so at least with that, we know we can control that by working with the graces of God. And so therefore, from that, yes, let us follow these words that our Lord gave to this woman. Now go and sin no more. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.